help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this evening's worship service singing from Psalter 356, stanzas 1 and 2. All who with heart confiding depend on God alone, like Zion's mount abiding, shall never be overthrown. Like Zion's city bounded by guarding mountains broad, his people are surrounded forever by their God. 356, we sing stanzas 1 and 2. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 4. We will read together verses 1 through 24. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 1, but first we will hear the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, merciful and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, for the second time on thy day we may be together in thy house. It's thy long-suffering patience in goodness to us unworthy sinners. And Lord, we beg thee then that as we have gathered together with our children together as a congregation to hear what thou hast to say unto us, that thou would gather with us, that thou would come with thy presence of thy Holy Spirit, and that thou would pour out from above those blessings upon the merits of thy dear Son. Oh, that thou would renew hearts, that thou would take away hearts of stone, dead hearts, and that thou would give hearts of flesh, living hearts, hearts that hunger and thirst for thee, hearts that need thee, that long for thee, that feel that separation because of their sin, but also that long for a little token, a little communion, favor from above, a smile for such a wretched sinner. Lord, we beg and pray thee, without thy grace and without the work of thy Holy Spirit, there is no life. And we read in thy word when thy servant Ezekiel had to preach to those dead bones. And Lord, there was only life by thy Spirit. But that's also with us. We are alive. We're in the land of the living, but born dead, and we need life. And Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone art that almighty God who can give life in hearts where there's only death. Thou alone can renew sinners and draw them unto thyself. Thou alone hast that power to make a people willing in the day of thy power. And thou can change enemies into friends. And Lord, in this morning then we heard of that greater Joseph, the head of the church, thy dear beloved Son, whom thou hast exalted to the highest. And what a wonder, his storehouses are still open, and there's an abundance of sufficient for the entire world. And those storehouses, the plenty, will never be diminished, even though thousands of needy sinners may eat and drink, because there is such an abundance in thee. But Lord, may we see it personally, that we personally need that blessed Redeemer, that mediator between my soul and an almighty, holy, and just God, that we need him to cover us with his righteousness, and that we need him to wash and to cleanse us from all our sin, our original sin, but our own actual sins. Lord, we beg and pray thee, thou who art the head of the church, and thou hast a church upon this earth, and thou hast promised that thou will be with them always unto the end of the world. Wilt thou be among us, Lord? Wilt thou work mightily, irresistibly, and convert children unto thee? May teenagers be born again, adults, older ones. O Lord, we beg thee, look upon us in mercy and work mightily, irresistibly, for thy honor, for thy glory. And Lord, thou hast sent thy Son in this world to seek and to save lost ones. And he will gather his sheep until the end of the world, until the last one is gathered in. O, may we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou also gather sinners from among us, from among our children. Lord, thou art the almighty God, thou could gather us all. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou hast saved 3,000 souls in one day, and that day of the pouring out of thy Holy Spirit, and thou art that same God. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou can save Pharisees as thou hast saved thy child Paul. But thou can also save prodigals, ones who are living in the world. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then look upon us in mercy. And we pray, remember those who desired to come among us to listen, who could not for various reasons. Give them a blessing where they are. but remember also those who had an opportunity to come and who had no desire. Remember prodigal sons and daughters who, with their baptized forehead, whom thou hast separated, who have left and are living completely in the world. Lord, look upon them in mercy, and we beg thee that thou would draw them, renew them, and turn them unto thee. But Lord, whether we are in the world or in the church, we are born dead and we need life. Oh, have mercy upon us, Lord, and give that life that thou alone can give, and teach those necessary lessons that we may be brought as a beggar before thee, that greater Joseph, thou who art that bread of life, and thou wilt never turn one poor needy beggar away. May there be food for poor and needy sinners. May there be crumbs from the master's table. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then go among us mightily, powerfully, and give life and teach and lead to that only place of safety, that only place of rest upon that rock. And remember those poor, needy sinners who know they must be on that rock, but they cannot bring themselves to that place. Oh, may we then cry together, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. And Lord, that thou would draw with those cords of love and lead as that good shepherd by the power of the Holy Spirit and through thy word to that only place of rest in thee. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember the whole congregation. Thou knowest how it is in each of our hearts. Thou knowest those with all kinds of riddles and questions. Oh, we beg thee that by thy word and by thy spirit, that they may be taught, riddles may be solved, that all the barriers may be broken. Thou who art that breaker, wilt thou break through it all and reveal thyself as that only precious Savior for sinners. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember those who are expecting the child. Care for that life in the womb of the mother. Help the mothers. Spare life, and at thy time also that they may be born, and that they may be born to be born again. And Lord, we ask thee then also, as in this last week we have seen a sad testimony also in our nation, that babies at the late stages of their time in the womb are also murdered. We beg thee, Almighty God, look upon this nation in mercy and give repentance. Give a turning away from this evil and this wickedness. Open eyes and teach that life from the moment of conception is precious, that each one is created in thy image, and that we may respect life from the moment of conception until the moment of death. O Lord, have mercy as that blood cries out unto thee for vengeance. O incline the hearts of those whom thou hast placed over us to rule over us. O we beg thee, give them grace in their hearts. Give them eyes to see the great responsibility they have, and that they are called to lead this nation according to thy word, and that they must give an account one day. Oh, we beg thee, bless all efforts to instruct also this nation of the sin of abortion, of euthanasia, of all sins against all thy commandments, Lord, and give a revival, give a returning unto thee, that sin may be hated, that sin may be fled from, and that we may beg thee for forgiveness. Give laws to protect life in this nation. Lord, we beg and pray thee and ask thee to remember then also us as a consistory. Remember us as elders, deacons, and as a servant, Lord, we need thy grace day by day. And who is sufficient for these offices? But may we hear from thy word again, faithful is he that calleth, who will also do it. Remember him who was elected to be an elder, and him who was elected also to be a deacon. O Lord, thou hast heard their answers, and they have said, depending upon thee, upon the grace of God, O wilt thou be that faithful one to supply out of the abundance, that they may be used in all of us in the consistory as instruments in thy hand, that we may have food to hand out from thy word unto the congregation. Bless house visitations, Lord. Help the elders, help the deacons, give wisdom, give discernment, give love, and that they may point to thy word and share thy word and speak out of thy word of him, of that precious Savior, and of how the Lord works in the hearts of sinners. We lay before thee also Rehoboam Christian School, Lord. Remember the board, the staff, the principals, vice principals, all the teachers, all who labor there. Oh, we beg and pray thee, give God-fearing leaders, God-fearing teachers, and bless thy word richly to the students. Help us at home, Lord, also to instruct our children in the truths of thy word, and bless thy word. Help us as fathers and mothers, give the tender fear of the Lord in our hearts. Help us to live in holiness, to be helpmeets for each other as husbands and as wives. Remember those who are single, maybe looking for a partner and longing for a partner for life. Lord, wilt thou provide care for them also in their loneliness? Remember then also those who are dating, those who are engaged. Keep, guide, and protect. Keep from sin. And Lord, we beg thee that in all these ways that thou would give thy grace to live unto thee. Give renewal of hearts. Give the drawing of the Holy Spirit unto thyself, and bless thy word, that it may be a light upon our pathway in all things, Lord. We beg and pray thee that thou would give grace to carry all our crosses and to follow thee. Oh, by nature we are only rebellious, and we want to cast it all away, but we need grace from above each day, and teach us, Lord, that through these crosses we may be led to live a life close to thee, dependent upon thee. We beg and pray thee that thou would also remember the great need throughout the world. Lord, we pray thee, send forth labors into thy vineyard. The harvest is plenty. Oh, we beg thee, also in our denomination, Lord, wilt thou provide? There are so many vacant pulpits, so many vacant congregations. Lord, we pray that thou would call men with thy grace, and that thou would incline their hearts, and that they may surrender and come forward, that they may present themselves unto the consistories, and that thou would guide and lead by thy Spirit. And if it is in thy will that men may be received to go to the curatorium, the Lord willing, in the coming year, and that thou would guide the curatorium, and that thou would gladden us, if it is in thy will and in thy favor, that many students may be accepted. Lord, have mercy on us. Remember the students that thou hast given. May we thank thee, Lord. Help them, be with them, guide them, lead them, instruct them, and remember their instructors. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Remember also the elders the coming Lord's Day when they are called to lead the services. Guide them and lead them to a word to speak. And may there be much prayer, Lord, and that thou would richly bless thy word. Help also with the labors that await us in Bolivia. And so, Lord, we beg thee that through all the sharing and the preaching of thy precious word, that thy kingdom may come also here. Lord, give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, and give ears to hear, enlighten minds to understand, and give hearts to receive. Give much prayer, Lord, and that thou would give a good hour in thy house, that we may go home and say it was good to be here because the Lord was among us. Pass us not by, Lord, have mercy on us. Wash and cleanse us of all our many sins, we ask, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 275, the first three stanzas. Thou, O Lord, art God alone, everlasting is thy throne. Through the ages men shall sing praise to heaven's eternal King. Thou enthroned above the skies wilt for Zion's help arise. Let thy grace to her appear, for the promised time is near. 275, the first three stanzas in the collections for this evening is the first for the church and the second for the disaster fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, every Lord's Day in the evening we confess, I believe in Holy Catholic Church. Why do we confess that? Is it biblical? Yes, it is. Paul explains in Ephesians 4 and other chapters, when he's led by the Holy Spirit, he speaks about the Church of God and that it can be recognized by four aspects, which we read in this confession. First, the church is holy. How is the church holy when it's made up of all sinners? How can a church be holy when it's all sinners? The church is holy in Jesus Christ. Paul wrote this in Ephesians 1 verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is holy in Jesus Christ, but also because the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit dwells in the church. And therefore, Paul calls the church holy, and he calls the church to live holy, as we read in Ephesians 4, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. So the church is holy. The second thing is the church is one. It's singular. You say, well, how that's possible? Even here in Ontario, we have many different churches, many different denominations, and yet there's one church made up of Jew and Gentile. The Lord has one church, and his church is scattered out throughout the whole world, through all different denominations, all different places, all different nations, all different countries, among the Jews and the Gentiles. The Lord Jesus Christ has one church, as we read in Ephesians 4, verse 4 and 5. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And since the church is one, there is to be unity. There is to be unity among the church. We are called as members of the church to seek unity upon the one foundation and upon the truths of the Word of God. So, it's a holy church. It's one church, it's singular, it's one church through the whole world. But also, what's the next word? I believe in Holy Catholic. What does that mean, children? You say, the Roman Catholic Church? No, that's not what it means. Catholic means that it refers to a universal church made up of all different types of people. The word Catholic is speaking of a church that's made up over the whole world of all different men and women, boys and girls, Jews and Gentiles. It's universal. It's worldwide. And the Lord Jesus Christ gathers his sheep from every tribe and from every nation. And God is the Father of his worldwide church. We read in verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And lastly, the church, I believe, and Holy Catholic Church. It's a Christian church. It's a Christian church because it's Christ's church. It's a church that is Christian because it belongs to the head, Christ. And why? Remember that question, why are you called a Christian? Speaking to God's children, why are you called a Christian, those believers in Christ? Because they belong to Christ. They are a member of him, united to him by faith. And the glorified Emmanuel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, gathers his church, governs his church, maintains his church, feeds his church, keeps his church. The one holy Catholic Christian church. And Christ is the head, as Paul also wrote in Ephesians 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And therefore we confess, because of the truth of the Word of God, I believe in holy Catholic Christian church. And what the Scripture teaches about this holy Catholic church is summarized in what we read in Lord's Day 21. And tonight, with the Lord's help, we will only consider the first two question and answers. Question and answer 54 and 55. And the Lord willing, in 2 weeks, we will consider the last question, 56. So let's read together from Lord's Day 21, question and answer 54 and 55. What believest thou concerning the Holy Church of Christ? Answer, that the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, gathers, defends, and preserves to himself, by his Spirit and Word, out of the whole human race, a church chosen to everlasting life, agreeing in true faith, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. Question answer 55. What do you understand by the communion of the saints? First, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common, partakers of him and of all his riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. And so the theme this evening, with the Lord's help, is the universal church of Christ. Four thoughts this evening. First, what is the church of Christ? Let us first consider, what is the church? We read about the church of Christ. We heard a little something, but there's more. What is the church of Christ? Second is, where does the church of Christ come from? Where does it come from? What's the beginning? Third, how do sinners become members of the church of Christ? Because we read, he gathers them, etc. And the last point, the last thought, how should the members of the church of Christ live? And we see that especially in question and answer 55. So, the universal church of Christ. What is the church of Christ? Where does the church of Christ come from? How do sinners become members of the church of Christ? And how should the members of the church live? So the universal church of Christ, what is the church of Christ? What is it? We believe. What believest thou concerning the holy Catholic Church of Christ? And so we see this article flows out of the following articles of the Confession of Faith. It flows out of that confession, I believe in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means by the work of the Holy Spirit upon the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty God gathers his church. That dead sinners become alive and are made members of his church. It's by the work of the Holy Spirit upon the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we confess, I believe an holy Catholic Christian church. We don't confess, I believe in the church. No, we believe in a triune God, in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. That means that we do not look to the church for salvation. We don't confess, I believe in the NRC, the Netherlands Reformed Congregation. We love our denomination. We love the truth. But we don't have faith in our denomination. We have faith in the head of the church. Faith in the only, true, living, almighty God. The head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not put trust in the first place in a church. No, we are called to put our trust in the head of the church. We love the church because it is the church of Christ. It's a worldwide church. Do you? Do you love the church? Do you love the universal Catholic church? The universal, the worldwide church from over the whole world? So what is the church? Children, what is the church? Maybe you say tonight, everybody gathered here, that's the church. Well, that's the visible church. That's what you see with your eye. But in this building, in this visible gathering, there's an invisible part of the church that you can't see. Who are these? Who's that invisible church? That's the church of God. That's those renewed sinners. That's the church of Jesus Christ. Those are those whom he gathers by his word and by the Holy Spirit. How else can we explain them? How can we divide the whole gathering here tonight, this visible church? It's between the believers, the true believers, and the unbelievers. There's a division among us. We're one congregation, one beloved congregation, but there's a separation that no eye can see, but God sees. God sees who you are. God sees if you're a living member or if you're still dead. How else can we describe what is the church of Christ? How did the Lord Jesus Christ himself describe the church? He said there's wheat and there's chaff. He said there's wise virgins and foolish virgins. He said there's goats and sheep, and they're all gathered together, all mixed together in the visible church. The church is the body of Christ. And sinners whom he seeks and saves by the power of the Holy Spirit become living members of his church. So what is the church? In the essence of the church, those are living members, recipients of grace. Those who are born again and who by grace receive, repent of their sin, and who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, he is the head of the church, the good shepherd. And what did the good shepherd, the good shepherd give for his beloved church? Open your Bible to John 10. We'll read verse 11, where we hear what the head of the church gave for his body, for his sheep. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Those sheep are so blessed because that good shepherd gave his life for them. Because God requires life for the payment of sin. And Jesus Christ, that good shepherd, for his sheep gave life. May I ask you, are you a living member of this church, of the church? No, not a living member of the NRC or another church. Are you a living member of the church, of the church of Jesus Christ? Or are you still dead? Maybe a baptized member, maybe a confessing member, maybe a member for many years, or maybe a new member, yet still dead. Is there hope? Is there hope? There's hope. Why? Because the head of the church, that almighty, exalted Lord Jesus Christ, who's at the right hand of the Father, by his word and spirit, still is gathering sheep. Listen to what we read in John 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Are you still lost? You may beg him. That almighty Savior, that one who's greater than Joseph, who has an abundance, Lord, make me one of thy sheep. And so the church of God is one. One shepherd, one fold. But there's another way to explain the church of God. They're also divided. What is it? There's a church militant and there is a church triumphant. What is that? Children, do you understand what those words are? The triumphant church is those who have been delivered. Delivered from sin, delivered from Satan, from the world, and from their own flesh. And they are around the throne in the presence of the Almighty God, delivered. They're triumphant, victorious in and through the head of the church. So that the militant or the triumphant church is those who already are in heaven. But there's another part of the church on this earth. They're the church militant. Who are they? They are those who are those Christian soldiers. They are in the battle. What do they fight against? They fight against sin. They fight against Satan. They fight against world. And what else do they fight against? Ask them. They fight against their own flesh, that wickedness. Listen to what we read about that battle that's in those true believers, that in those living members. Listen to what we read in Galatians 5 verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. The spirit is dwelling in them. Remember, they're temples of the Holy Spirit. God put his Holy Spirit in them. And their flesh resist and fight against the spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Are you a living member? Do you belong to the church of God? All those who belong, living members, they know a battle. No, you don't see them fighting, literally. But there's a battle in their heart, in their life. There's a war going on against their own flesh. Do you know this battle? Or are you still at peace with sin, with flesh? No, you don't like the consequences of sin, but you're at peace with sin. The church of Christ is one. Although now one group is in heaven, one group upon this earth, but soon the head of the church will gather them all together, and there will forever be one shepherd, one flock, one eternal, holy, perfect, pure church. Will you be there? And so we come to the end of our first thought. What was the second question? Remember the theme? The universal church of Christ. Where does the church of Christ come from? What's its origin? What's its beginning? How does it take place? Well, today in mission work, we hear a lot of times, we've heard it, and I'm sure also the mission bird have heard it, planting churches. I've been asked that when I worked in Tarija. People you meet on the plane and you say you're a missionary. You say, oh, are you planting churches? Is that the right way to think? Man doesn't plant churches. I can't plant one seed in the heart of anything. I can only share the word. Man doesn't plant churches. As a mission board, they don't plant churches. We don't plant churches. The church workers are not planting churches. Not at all. God works. Churches are born. Sinners are renewed and made living members. But what's the origin? What's the very beginning of the church of Christ? Of the church of God? What do we read in Lord's Day 21, question and answer 54? We read that Jesus Christ, from the beginning to the end of the world, gathers, defends, and preserves to himself who? Sinners. Who are they? Sinners out of the whole human race. Which ones? Who are they? What do we read? Chosen to everlasting life. Who chose them? Who chose that church? Who chose you, child of God? Think about that tonight. Are you a child of God? Are you a living member? Who chose you? Open your Bible, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read who chose and how he chose. Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 4. Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 4, where we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Who chose? God the Father chose his church. He chose them. When did God the Father choose them? What do we read in these verses? Before the foundation of the world, before creation, before anything began, in the stillness of eternity, or we call it in the council of peace, God chose a church. What is the beginning of the church? Where does the church come from? It comes from eternity. It comes out of the heart. It comes out of the loving heart of the Almighty God. The church is born in eternity out of him, and in time he seeks and he saves and he makes dead sinners living sinners, and he makes them members of his church. Child of God, is that you? Are you a sheep? Are you a sheep of the Good Shepherd? Your beginning was from eternity. And nothing ever stopped that love of God that chose you. All the sin, the fall of man, all your sin, that love is so great. And his love is so great that he would have you with him eternally. He sent his dear son, so that he would suffer and die and pay for you, that you may be eternally with him in one church, one fold, one shepherd. Why did God the Father choose certain ones? Why? What was the reason? Was there anything in those sinners? There was absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. They only were completely polluted, completely lost, dead in sins and trespasses. The Lord knew they would all fall and become completely, totally depraved. Did he see any good in them? Was there any reason why that one, that he would choose? Yes, no, not at all. It all flowed out of what? Out of the love of the heart of the Father from eternity. That is where the church comes from the love of God. It was his sovereign good pleasure to choose certain ones, an innumerable multitude of sinners, to be forever with him. Congregation, there would be no church if there was no eternal beginning out of the heart of God. There would be no church if there was no election. There would be absolutely no hope. Election is the friend of sinners. You say, how can that be? Well, if there is no election, there's no hope. Spurgeon said, election is the friend of sinners. And he's exactly correct. Paul wrote, he knew this. He knew this. He wrote all these profound doctrines. And what did he come to? Ephesians 1 verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. He knew it. He saw it. And he saw it was all to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It all flows out of the heart of God the Father through the merits of his dear son, and he will apply it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Where does the church come from? It comes from the electing love of God the Father. It began in eternity. Man is not saved because of him, not because of his foreseen faith, not because of his will. Nothing in man. We are one mass of sin and nothing else. And without the grace of God, we can do absolutely nothing but just simply stink. The foundation of salvation is in God and his grace out of the heart of God. May that bring us, Church of God, to bow in the dust and to adore him. That triune God who deeply, profoundly loves his church with an eternal love. The Father elected his family, and he sent his Son, and his Son came willingly to pay for his bride with his life, with his blood. And the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The most precious possession upon this earth is not gold and silver, children. Not fancy houses and nice cars, not at all. The most prized possession upon this earth is what? God's beloved church that he loved from the stillness of eternity. I ask you again, are you a living member of the church of Jesus Christ? And that church will endure to eternity through all trials, through all afflictions, through all persecutions. That church will endure. The Lord Jesus Christ will gather them. He will defend them. He will preserve them. He will build his church. And oh, that roaring lion, he does everything to destroy that church. Think of Reformation, how it became so dark, and how happy Satan was. Everything was twisted. Poor sinners couldn't hear of that only way of salvation through him who is that greater Joseph, who has everything to give for wretched sinners who have nothing but God. He lives. And that precious Savior, that head of the church, keeps, guides, protects, defends. And he gave a light again in that time. And he said in Matthew 16, verse 18, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's speaking of his church. And we read in Psalm 125, because of him, we read in Psalm 125, verse 1 and 2, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, and abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. Do you see the beauty? Do you see the only comfort? And that is to be a member, a living member of that only one true church, that church of Jesus Christ. Of the Father elected in his love from eternity. And Jesus Christ paid it all for them. And the Holy Spirit dwells in them. So in conclusion of the first two thoughts. Children, what is the church of Christ? The church is all true believers. Where did that church come from? What's the beginning? It began out of the heart of the Almighty God. It flowed out of his sovereign good pleasure, his love. But how? We said a little something about it. But how do sinners become? How can you become a living member? Let's sing first from Psalter 237, all three stanzas. 237, all three stanzas. Zion founded on the mountains, God thy maker loves thee well. He has chosen thee most precious, he delights in thee to dwell. God's own city, who can all thy glory tell? 237, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. the universal church of Christ. How do sinners become living members of the church of Christ? Well, we read in question and answer 54 that the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, gathers, defends, and preserves to himself by his Spirit and Word out of the whole human race our church chosen to everlasting life. So how do sinners become living members? By the work of the head of the church. He works by his Spirit and by his Word. God the Father gave all the chosen ones to his Son. He gave them to him. He gave all those chosen beloved sheep that he set as objects of his love in eternity to his Son. And his Son has been given all power to seek and to save them. He will gather every single one of them. Listen to what we read in John 17, verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. The good shepherd seeks those sheep. He knows who they are. He seeks them and he finds them. How does he find them? As good members of a church? How does he find them? He finds them laying, as we read in Ezekiel, polluted, laying in their blood. What does that mean? Laying in death. No spiritual life. He finds them, as we read in Ezekiel, dead. He finds them and he renews them. He gives them life. He puts his Spirit in them. He gives them a new heart. He takes away that heart of stone and he gives a heart of flesh. And he will gather them. They will hear his voice. And he proclaims his word through his sinful servants. And through the preaching, through that outward call, he brings it inward. And it comes with power, bringing life. He shall give them life. And he will feed them with milk and with meat. With the simplicity of the gospel, that greater Joseph give his body to be broken to give bread. That his name is Jesus, that he shall save his people from their sins. And he gives them meat to also feed upon those profound doctrines that Paul wrote about in Romans, in Ephesians, that they were chosen in eternity. Because there is the absolute security. It's not in them. It's not in their faith. It's not in their love. It's nothing in them. It's all out of him and their recipients. And because of the grace received, they do begin to live hungering and thirsty for him. And they do come to him. They come to that greater Joseph because that greater Joseph draws them. Because that greater Joseph gives them life. And he shows them what death is. And he empties them of everything. So how will sinners become living members? All because of the triune God. God sends his servants where he will and when he will throughout the whole world in many different ways, not just in the NRC, in many different ways to bring his word to Jews and Gentiles, that sinners would be born again and that there would be one flock, one shepherd. But are you a living member? And sometimes I remember being the beginning into rehab, working there. It was like absolute plowing on rocks. And it was hard, humbling, good lessons that you can do nothing, absolutely nothing, but one hope. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. That was my prayer, but it's still my prayer, congregation. It's not by might. It will never be anything for me, but by the work of the Holy Spirit. Because you can also get very discouraged preaching also in a nice large congregation. Because you long for life. Not just for a bigger congregation, but for life. That there's life in souls. That sinners become sorrowful because of their sin. They can't live anymore without God. They hunger for the greater Joseph. And that they are also fed by him. But there's a promise that gives courage to the elders, to the deacons, to me, to all who work in his church, to teachers, but also to parents. Listen, Isaiah 55 verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Lord, bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. May it not be that it testifies against this beloved congregation in Cortland, but that sinners would be born again, that he may have sheep, that we may be gathered, that we may be together in that one fold. What must you be? You must be a living member. You must be a living member. And what is a living member? A living member is united. United to him who is the head. United in faith to Jesus Christ. He seeks them. He saves them. He gives them repentance. And he gives that faith. He finds them because he loves them. They lie dead and he pours love in their heart that they begin to seek him. And they're united by faith. My friend, are you a living member of that living church? Do you belong? Remember, what's the only comfort? That I belong. No, not to the NRC. Not to a member of the church. But that you belong as a living member to that good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, who died, who paid for his sheep, because without him, they're lost. So the first step to become a living member is to have life, and that one that's greater than Joseph is so mighty, he can give life to dead sinners. And he will, by his grace, bring them to truly repent and to truly believe. Do you need repentance? Do you need life? Do you need faith? The storehouse of that greater Joseph is open. You may plead unto him, Lord, I'm dead. I'm a living member in this church, but I'm dead. Give me life. Give me life out of the abundance of thy grace. Sinners become sons of God, we read. Because of them? No. But because of God, what do we read in John 1? In John 1, verse 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And now listen, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There it is. Living members, because of that grace of God through the merits of Jesus Christ, and they're made alive. And it's our guilt, congregation. This morning, those Egyptians that refused to go to Joseph, they died. It was their guilt. That's a picture also of the gospel. It's our guilt. And that's hard to hear because our whole hearts resist it because we don't want to become guilty. But it's our guilt. That's my longing, that you become guilty, that you heard it so many years. And you cannot just use that excuse, I need to be born again. That's the truth. But you also need to become guilty against the law and against the gospel, that you become completely lost. And yes, it is all by free sovereign grace. But God will preach his word so that sinners become lost, guilty. You know what the greatest sin is? The greatest sin is unbelief. Hearing about that greater Joseph and rejecting him, that's making God a liar. We read in the first epistle of John, what sin, what wickedness. And when that king of the church returns, he will take vengeance on who? He will take vengeance with flaming fire on them. What do we read? Who disobeyed the gospel. Who rejected his son. And the other side is absolutely true. It's all by grace. And by grace alone. And there will be one shepherd. One flock. Living members. Will they ever perish? Is that your fear? Do you fear someday you'll perish? Perish sheep? Do you think? When you look at yourself. Of herself. Yes, we will only perish. We would never be in the living church. And by ourselves, we will only perish. But salvation isn't in man. They will forever, we read in Lord's Day 21, verse 54, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. The living church, members, sinners made members, and they will forever remain living members. Because of them? No, because of God. Salvation is secure in God. Open your Bible, please, now to John chapter 10. And there we see, if you are one of those dear beloved sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not your hand that holds onto him that gives security to your salvation. Not at all. But it's his hand. His hand that chose you. His hand that found you, gave you life, and his hand that holds on. John 10, verse 28 and 29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. And maybe you ask now, how may I know if I am a living member? Well, there's a whole list of marks that we could give, but just one tonight from Ephesians 4, just one. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. How? How do you think? What did the Lord Jesus say? And we will also read it in this chapter. What did he say? Listen, if you have love one to another. What's a mark of being a living member? Love. Love for one another. Yes, that's a mark. And we read that in Ephesians 4 verse 2. Forbearing one another in love. Do we love each other, Church of God? Do we love each other as brothers in the consistory? I may say yes. But do we love each other as a whole body? That's good. But do we also love each other as living members? Do we care for each other? Do we love each other? Do we pray for each other? Or does somebody disagree on an unimportant point and we say, I don't want to visit that man anymore. I want nothing to do with him. And we speak to others. Yes, this person thinks this way. Can you believe it? And we're critical and judgmental on things that are not foundational truths of the Bible. May that perish. And that we may truly love each other on that one foundation, on the truths of the Word of God, forbearing one another. If you see one fall, that you don't want to see him ever anymore again. Peter fell deep, and you know what? We read something so beautiful after that. And John went with Peter. John went with Peter. Simple words. But you know what it tells us? Love. John didn't stand above Peter. That fell so deep. I could say it this way. John must have put his arm around Peter and said, Peter, come with me. Let's go together. We can serve that same master. He's so good. And I'm no better. Because without the grace of God, I will fall also. Forbearing one another in love. To love one another. They have love. They have love for their the family in the church of God, for their brothers and sisters, as Paul writes and as John writes, love for the brethren. But it flows out of love. The love of God that was planted in their hearts. They love him because he loved them first. And they have love. love for the head of the church. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. May I ask you, are you wondering if you're a living member of the Church of Christ? May I ask you that question that the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter, lovest thou me? Can you say, Lord, thou knowest all things? Maybe you don't want to say it aloud by other people, but maybe quiet in your closet in prayer, or maybe in a secret place, you could say it, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest this heart. Thou knowest that I love thee. That's those living members. Can they say that every day? No. But in the depth of their heart, there's love because he loved them first. And they love the body. They love the family. They love each other. And they are called to live in that love. Our last thought, a few words. How should those living members live in love? There's a deep bond in our families, right? Children, you love your father, you love your mother, you love your siblings. Deep love. But there's a family that live in love. And that's the family of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have the same hope. They have the same sorrows. They have the same hatred. They have the same Holy Spirit. They receive the same grace from the Almighty Triune God. They're in the same fight. They need the same grace. They have the same sorrows. They have the same joy. They're in the same family. They have the same Father. They have the same Savior. They have the same Holy Spirit. And they will have the same inheritance. And they will be living together forever in peace and perfect unity. And now they are called already to live in love and peace and in unity. And they will all hear the same voice. The same message from the exalted head of the church. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Are you a living member? Are you living in love? And the Lord Jesus Christ, in that high priestly prayer, he prayed for this, for the communion of the saints, that they would be together in love. Listen. Listen to what we read in John 17, verse 20 and 21. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all, what? That they all may be one. How as one? As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. They are to live together in communion, caring for each other, praying for each other, weeping with each other, rejoicing with each other, carrying each other's burdens. And it's a precious thing when you may meet in prison men who have God's grace, and you can sit beside them and you can hear, you can feel a bond with them. Why? Because they have the same needs. They have the same sorrow. They have the same hopes. They have the same battle. You can sit with men and women that you meet in Bolivia, as I have. You can sit together and you can feel so united together. Have you had that? People from all over the world, you can sit with them and you can feel we're part of the same blessed family of the grace of God. We are called, Church of God, to live first in communion with the Almighty God, but also in communion with each other. And we should practice that. And we should practice that more. May I give you a little loving recommendation? This week, if you know someone in the congregation that's suffering, pray for them. Ask them. Speak to them. How may I help you? How may I pray for you? That they may feel loved and cared, that we may not only speak about the communion of saints, but that we may practice it. We need each other, congregation. And may we be like that beginning church, having all things in common. No, we don't need to sell everything and divide it up. That's not what I mean. But that we may be together in love, in unity, on that one foundation, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that beginning church had such a beginning of beauty. What were they like? What do we read in Acts 1 verse 14? These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. May we think about that, about prayer together in love. And may the Almighty God work in the hearts of sinners, and that there may be that life, and that there may be that communion through the Lord Jesus Christ with God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And out of that communion may flow that living communion with the church of God. That's a blessed church. Blessed with that communion with Him, and blessed with communion with each other. That's a blessed church, a blessed people. And we read in Psalm 133, and we will close with that. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Amen. Let us close in thanksgiving. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, O wilt thou seek and save lost sinners, wilt thou make living members also in this congregation. O may the number of thy dear people increase. May children be born again, teenagers born again, older ones, senior ones. Lord, we beg thee, have mercy upon us. Conquer hearts. Take away all the weapons of resistance, and that we may taste by thy grace that sweet communion, Lord, with thee through that mediator, and that out of that sweet communion we may live in love, caring for each other, praying for each other, and that this may be a living church. Lord, look upon us in mercy. Forgive us of all our sins, also in connection to what we have meditated upon. And Lord, may we acknowledge thee for thy precious word that can make us wise unto the only way of salvation through thy dear Son, to him who is greater than Joseph, who lives forevermore, that praying, that interceding, and thanking high priest. Lord, look upon us in mercy. Care for us in the coming weeks. Help the elders the coming Lord's Day. Lord, provide also in Bolivia. Give all that is needed, that through the foolishness of preaching, thy kingdom may come, that thy name may be honored and glorified, and that sinners may have that only true and eternal comfort. Lord, may we acknowledge thee for thy help, for thy precious word. Keep us in this week. And Lord, look upon us in mercy. Cleanse us of all our sin through that all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. For Jesus' sake, amen. Before we sing, we have one announcement. At the annual meeting held on November 11th, 2025, the voting for office bearers took place. Mr. Steve Van Brugge was voted in as elder, and Mr. Hank Schulten was voted in for deacon. And with the Lord's help, both have accepted their office. Lawful objections must be submitted to the consistory by November 21st, 2025. And the installation of office bearers, the Lord willing, is scheduled for November 30. Congregation, remember also them in prayer. Let us sing now from Psalter 371, stanzas 1 and 2. 371, stanzas 1 and 2. Behold how pleasant and how good that we, one Lord confessing, dwell together in brotherhood, our unity expressing. And what follows? 371, stanzas 1 and 2. Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.